The Gwaltney Group.
The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney. Gwaltney Group. RE/MAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning, Saturday, finally. I'm Andy Brownell, along with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results. Good morning, Robin. Good drying morning. It out where you're at?
Yes, but you know, now it's time to start cleaning up the pool and getting ready because here we are inside a week for the 4th of July celebration kickoff.
I know.
I can't wait. I hope it's going to be nice and hot and sunny and hopefully a break from all the rain we've had. Good
oh
God.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we had that storm on Thursday at my place. It came down at a rate, I was watching the rain gauge, so 1.2 inches fell in about 20 minutes, and the total was 2.5. But during that 20-minute span, it was hard to see across the street.
It's funny you'd say that because I was showing houses, and we were looking at a house out on Eastwood Golf Course. So, you know, not that far from you as a
right.
Golf wife. And all of a sudden, the alarms go off on my cell phone, and it's like, if you're on the east side of Rochester, I'm like, oh, shoot, that's where we are, all right. So we did drive back to the office. I don't know if that was the most responsible thing to do, but I didn't know what we were supposed to do, like pull into the garage at these people's house and sit there. So anyway, we made it back, and then everything, as you know, lightened up. But we have gotten a ton of rain. Yikes.
Yeah, it's you go from dry to too much rain in the yard. The grass is growing. I think it's growing a couple inches a day right now.
I've had a few people call me. I did tell the couple that I was looking at houses with. I said, you guys, it's kind of a pain in the butt that we're running through the rain to get into houses. But at the same time, I'm a glass half full girl. And it's kind of nice to be looking at houses in this heavy rain. Because if the water is going to come in, this is when it's going to come in. And we can go downstairs and see that we're looking at all dry basements, which is definitely a good sign.
Oh, right? Yeah. I imagine you're hearing from people who it's the other case, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's so sad. I got a call from a young couple. They're like, Robin, we have water in our basement. And, of course, it was one of these deals where I was representing the seller as well. So then I called the seller, and he's like, Robin, I promise you. I said, you put on your disclosure you've never had water. And he said, I promise you we have never had water. And I said, okay, good to know. And so we drove over there, and sure enough, their downspout to their gutters was off, and they had removed it to do some mowing and whatever and forgot to put it back on.
Oh, no.
And Scott said from what he could tell, the gutters looked pretty full as well. So you know, these are all things that we all need to be aware of, but especially if you're a new homeowner, gutters are great, and they really do help with keeping the water away from the foundation of your house to help alleviate the problem of it coming into the basement. But once it's up in the gutters, you need the downspout for it to go away from the house. So if you have those downspouts, which a lot of them, I love the ones that are hinged. So if you are mowing, you need to move it out of the way, you just flip it up. That's so smart.
I've seen them. I don't have them, but I've seen them.
Yeah. It's really smart. But if you have to remove it, just make sure you put it back. Put it back. Put it back. And then you got to keep the gutters clean. Otherwise, it's just like not having gutters. So some people think that because they have the gutter guards, they don't have to clean out their gutters. And that is the whole point. But sometimes you have to clean off the top of the gutter guards because those little pine needles or those little, little helicopter things, will lay up there and then get wet, and then the water can't get into the gutter the way it's supposed to. So, I mean, you do have to make sure you've got those gutters cleaned out, the tops of the rain guard, the gutter guard cleaned off, and the downspout on. So if you have the gutters, you want to make sure that they are working properly.
I have a friend whose DIY trick for the gutters that have the the guards on them that get coated with dry leaves. Sometimes they just get attacked.
Yeah, they dry on almost like a paper mache. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes up there with a battery powered leaf blower.
Oh.
And it's got a high enough blow rate. He just marches right down and it blows them right off.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, that's what we have to do. We just have to make sure they're clear inside and on top so that the water can come in and go out the way it's supposed to. If you don't have gutters on your house, it is a pretty darn good investment. I know, Andy, you told me you're going from the small gutters to the bigger gutters. I think that's often also a really good investment. People have asked me, like, how much does it cost to put gutters on the house? Well, obviously,
It depends.
It depends, because it depends on what kind of gutters you're getting, what size of gutters you're getting. Are they seamless gutters? Are they not? How much linear foot of gutters do you need? How big is your roof? What's the pitch? All of those things, right?
How many corners you have.
Exactly. So to tell you, I actually just looked all this up, and in Rochester, Minnesota, the average homeowner will spend between $2,200 and $6,600. So that's kind of a wide range, but just to give you a ballpark idea, you know, between $3,000 and $6,000 is probably what you're going to spend on gutters. But if you ever have had water in your basement, you will be happy to spend $3,000 to $6,000 on gutters if that's going to stop any water intrusion. That is for sure.
And you mentioned the spouts at the bottom. I've seen it before. If you don't get them firmly seated in there when you put them back, if you get a really big gully washer like
it'll
we did
push it right
on
off.
Thursday, yeah, it'll pop it. Yeah.
It'll pop it right off. That's why those ones that are screwed on, hinged on, are so ingenious. I mean, they're really smart because they're not going anywhere, and you can fold them up and get them out of your way. So another upgrade that you might want to look into. Another thing that people should be really aware of is what a big difference the landscaping around the, you know, foundation of your house is going to make. So people say, what do you mean? Well, you want to build it up so that the water's running away from your house, not toward your house. And if, let's just say your house hasn't had gutters on for a long time, and the rain just comes straight off the roof and just going to pelt that ground and wear it down and wear it down. And now all of a sudden you've got a grade going toward the house, right? So when I show people houses, we always walk around the outside and look at it. And I say, oh, they've done a really good job of keeping the dirt or the grass or the rock or whatever they have there, the mulch, graded at a, you know, at a decline away from the house so that the water will run accordingly. But sometimes people don't realize that it's in that condition, and then they say, oh, we're going to put gutters on the house. Well, that's great, but if there's a lot of water in your yard, it'll still run towards your house. So it's a combination of things.
Right.
And clearly, you know, drain tile is a big one. That's not something that you're going to add, but it's something that you're going to want to know if you have it. So was it put in when your foundation was poured? And is there a drain tile system around the foundation of the house? And all, there's so many factors, you know, because we do want to keep those basements dry. If we can keep those basements dry, it's not fun. I don't know if you've ever had it. I've definitely had to deal with a wet basement for my own house, and I've had to deal with wet basements with many a client over the years. So I've learned a lot about doing everything possible to keep the water out of the basement, and I've learned a lot about what to do if the water comes in the basement.
Yeah, knock on wood. Have not had that issue in more than 30 years, but I know plenty of people who have, including some not too far away from me, because where we live back in the day before the flood control project, it was a wetlands.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't even have it then?
No.
You didn't even have water then? Oh, you're very...
We're kind of like on about the very beginning of the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
So all of our water, unfortunately, for the people down in the hill, flows in their direction.
Got it. Well, we haven't had water in the house that we live in now. We don't even have a sump basket or a sump pump because we also are on the hill. Yeah, but, and never a drop. And that's now 20 years. So I don't think we're going to have to worry about it. But we do have gutters, and we do have, you know, we are built up on a hill, so the water is all sloped away from the house, which is great. But our first house we lived in, we had a flooded basement. And let me tell you, never again. I don't ever want to go through that.
Oh, my gosh, what a mess. And the other one is your sump pump.
Yeah.
I know, you know, like we have the sump basket, but there's no pump.
Yeah.
Because we haven't needed it. But I know some people have had that awful surprise of They thought they had a sump pump, and guess what? They didn't.
Oh, no. Oh, that's so sad. So this is the thing. I tell people, let's look at the sump pump. I mean, obviously, when you have a home inspection, that's something that the home inspector is going to look for and look at and make sure that there is a sump basket. If there is a sump basket, they'll indicate if there is a sump pump or not. Some people even go the extra mile, probably people like me who have had a wet basement, have a backup sump pump along with the electrical one, because if the power goes out during a storm, then your sump pump's not going to work. But if you have a battery backup, which is another little secret to avoiding water in the basement, if you live in an area where your sump basket does get a lot of water in it.
Worth the investment, as you say, because the cost of ripping out flooring and drywall and everything else that you have to do to clean up afterwards is a lot more than the cost of the pump and the battery backup.
So one of the houses that we own, the one that I had bought for my parents the last few years of their life, when we were on a cruise in January, the basement flooded. Did I tell you that?
No.
Oh, my blood's going to start to boil because, and I'm going to say it, these doggone insurance companies are ridiculous. Okay. We were on a cruise in January. Our neighbors were with us. The house was sitting empty because my parents no longer live there. And the one neighbor, Carol, is 82 years old and doesn't really go out much. And the other neighbors live down the hill farther and they can't see that house. Well, anyway, somehow, mysteriously, the outside water faucet got turned on. And it doesn't even make sense. People don't accidentally turn on outside water faucets in the winter. So when we got back from the cruise, Scott heard water running. And he went over there and the outside spigot was turned wide open. And so the water then soaked through the ground and went down into the basement of that house. Now, let me tell you, I put brand new carpet in that house when I bought it for my parents. And my parents never used the lower level. So the carpet was never even used. And it all had to get torn out. And the sheetrock had to get cut out. And we had to have the big machines in there to dry it out. I think it was something like just to get it cleaned up and dried out, it was $12,000. It's a lot of money.
It is.
The insurance company said, oh, that's your fault. That's groundwater. We don't cover groundwater. And I said, no, I think this had to be more like vandalism, because somebody obviously came and turned on this water, and they said, would you have a video to prove it? And I'm like, well, no, I don't. But
why would I have a video pointing at my back spigot?
Yeah. And can I also tell you, sir, that I was gone. I was out of the country. I can prove that. And so I didn't turn any water on. I didn't sabotage myself. To what? Ruin my brand new carpet that I had put in? It was very frustrating.
Sorry to bring it up.
I could do a whole talk on just insurance and how hard it is to deal with insurance companies this day. And I mean, I just absolutely love my insurance agent and have been with them for a long time, but they're not able to help us in any way, shape, or form. I mean, these insurance companies just refuse to pay. And
the only choice is to go to court, and you're not going to do it over that amount of money because the lawyer is going to cost you more than that anyway.
Exactly. It's just really frustrating.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why we want to avoid the water if we can. So do all the things.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. Back in a moment, Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, with us on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 to Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Saturday with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results on News Talk 1340, KROC AM. 96.9 FM. All right, let's hope for a bit of dry weather to get rid of the sogginess. And so your phones aren't ringing off the hook, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is I'm glad that my clients feel like they can reach out to me and call me when they have an issue, because that is what we're here for. And I do want to help them. And I do have contacts. I mean, I know people who will come over and clean out the water. I know people who can put in the beaver system to, you know, eliminate the problem from happening again, or put on the gutters, or change the landscaping. So we have contacts in all those areas after 25 years in the business. And I know who can come over and help you with whatever your situation is. So I am glad people turn to me, but it just stresses me out that they're going through this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fun.
Storm damage is a nightmare for anyone.
Yes. Yeah. But all right, let's change the subject, shall we? I started to read articles to see what's happening in the real estate market. What should I talk about? And every single article is like, Fed's in no rush to lower the rates. Pending sales defy the expectations, but spark hope for a rebound. More sales this year? It's possible, data indicates. Contract signings ticked up slightly, capping off a sluggish spring. Think it's better to wait for a recession before you move? Think again. What every homeowner needs to know in today's shifting market. Well, you know what? All of these things are so very market. They're so different in every individual market. Okay.
Oh, sure.
They're so market specific is what I'm trying to say. So believe me, we have not had a sluggish spring. Believe me, we have not had slow. I listed a house over in Lake City on the Jewel, an expensive home. Okay. It was $700,000. It came on the market yesterday and boom, bang. First day, two offers, all cash over ask.
That's a nice place to be. They're right along the golf course in Lake City.
It is. But my point is it's not a cheap house, right? It's a pretty expensive house, but the buyers are still out there. And what if we spent a lot of time talking about that price range in particular, if it's cash buyers, they're moving just as quickly as, you know, things were in the hottest markets of all, because they're not in the least bit affected by the interest rates.
That's true.
Right? However, interest rates, I had somebody lock in yesterday on a 30-year fix for 6.5. Not that shabby. So don't be too discouraged if you're still out there believing that, oh my gosh, you know, the rates are so high and everything is so bad and there's no houses to choose from. The truth is, we do have houses to choose from, quite a few of them all over the board, all different price ranges. By any chance, did you catch my live tour of my beautiful $2.5 million listing on Midwest Access?
Oh, no, I didn't see it. Oh, really? Well, I wish I had.
Well, look at my Gwaltney Group Facebook page, because Brian, of course, took it and put it on there. But yeah, it's just a gorgeous house up in Weatherhill that I listed for $2,495,000. And it was fun to go out of the set and, you know, onto, you know, a live site. So we went to do a tour of a listing. It was a lot of fun. I think we'll do that probably once a month just for the fun of it.
So anyway, I was going to go back and ask you, the person out there who's waiting and, you know, not getting into the market for the reasons that you listed, do you ever run into these folks and then sit down with them and actually, are they surprised sometimes when they find out, hey, we can do this?
Yes. I mean, these are things that they like to hear. Hey guys, inventory's up and buying power is coming back. And the right price now matters more than ever. So these people who were getting away with overpricing, they're not now, because people are going to come in, buyers are going to come in and say, well, if you don't want to, work with me on your house, I'll go to one of the others because there's more options. So I feel like today's sellers are definitely wise if they listen to the feedback of the market. And that turns around and works really well in the favor of the buyers. So I'm telling my sellers these days, You know, we definitely want to come on the market at the right price, but the market's going to tell us if it's the right price. And I'm not saying that if we haven't sold in a week or two that we're going to reduce the price, because we're going to look at the stats and we're going to see in your price range, the average days on market is 45. So are we going to panic at 30 days on the market? Absolutely not. Are we going to panic at 45? No, that's the average. But by 60 days on the market, I'm probably going to say if we haven't had an offer, it is time to reduce the price. We don't want to ignore the signs that the market is sending us. So I feel like if you're working with a listing that's being represented, well, I can promise you if it's being represented by the Gwaltney Group, but if you're working with a listing that's being represented by a experienced, good real estate agent, the price is going to stay where it's supposed to be, right? So if it doesn't sell where it started, it's going to be reduced again until the house sells. But we're going to listen to what the market is telling us and get the seller's houses sold, because that's what they want. That's the end goal. And of course, everybody always wants the most money, right? I mean, we never want to leave any money on the table, but we want to figure out what's that realistic price, because it's not just about wishes and hopes and, you know, clouds in the sky. It's about data and what's selling, right? I always tell people, you can want what you want, but you're going to get what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know,
the market,
if it's all
changes constantly too.
It does. And so we just have to know what is going on and what is realistic. And we talk about that before they put the house on the market. So if they don't like what they hear, they don't like what the market is doing right now and how things are selling and what price they're going to get, then they can make that conscious decision not to enter the market right now. And that's part of the conversation. We certainly don't go to a listing appointment every single time thinking that these people are going to, okay, let's do it. Let's put the house on the market. Sometimes they simply say, ugh, if that's all I can make, I think I'm just going to stay here. And that's sure. fine. That's fine.
That's why you're so valuable to be able to.
And that's our job, is come over and give them the truth, give them the facts, and give them, you know, the data so they can make an informed decision.
All right, Robin, we have to take another break already. Back in just a moment with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results on News Talk 1340, KROC AM at 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM. Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Thanks for tuning in. We are with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results. It's News Talk 1340, KROC AM, 96.9 FM. Speaking of inventory, Robin, do you have any listings you wish to share with us?
I do. And actually, we have quite a few listings, but for the sake of today's show, I'm only going to talk about the listings that we've had for like 2 weeks or less. Okay, so just basically the freshest of the inventory.
Okay.
How's that sound? All right. So I've got one out at 6317 Oak Meadow Lane Northwest. And that is a really cool, secluded little road in the northwest side of town, out by the new dog park off of West River Road.
Okay. I know where you're at.
Back over there. Okay. Anyway, that one is, I've had it on the market 6 days now, and it's got 4 bedrooms and 3 baths. It's got a 2-car tuck under at the main house, and then it's got a 4-car detached garage / workshop, which is really, really nice. Yeah. It was built in 1978, but it's been redone throughout. It's just a really beautiful house with a nice little setting nestled in there and a brand new retaining wall that they just had done prior to the listing. So that's a nice plus. That one is $795. Okay. Then over in Wabasha, I have a very unique property. It's been on the market a week. It's an earth home, sort of. So when you think of earth homes, they were kind of dark and there's not really much light. This one was just built into the hill. The whole front is glass. It's all windows. and it actually looks out over the Mississippi River Valley and the river.
That sounds cool.
It's way up on a hill. Yeah, and it's all one level, no steps whatsoever. It's got two bedrooms, two bathrooms, a three-car garage, and it's built in 1999. It does have a real roof, so it's not underground on the roof. It has a roof. Anyway, that one is $739,900, but it also has 30 acres. So it's a cool house with 2,175 square feet sitting on 30 acres up on top of a bluff. So that's a fun one.
Yeah.
In Lake City, again, back on the Jewel, not the one that I mentioned earlier that's already sold, but this one's been on the market for a week. This one is 535. It's five bedrooms, three baths, a two-car garage, and it's just over 3,000 square feet finished, 3,078. It's built in 2015, which is 10 years old, and I was shocked when I found that. I mean, it feels and looks brand new, just immaculate house. And it has a beautiful little backs right up to the golf course over there. It's really nice. So that one's 535. Then here in town over 1916 Greenview Place Southwest, there's some townhomes over there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so this one's a two-bed, two-bath townhome for $219,900. It has a one-car garage. Yeah, it's really nice. Really nice place. They actually had used it as a rental, and so I was all excited when I listed it because I'm like, oh, this is going to sell so fast. And they said, well, that whole rental ability is we were grandfathered in, but once we sell it, it can no longer be rented. So now whoever owns it has to live there.
Well, what a shame, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be really nice for somebody. It's really conveniently located.
Yeah, and the price, yeah. My goodness.
And the price is very affordable. Yes. All right. And then I have, I've got a couple up on Weatherhill. I talked about the one for $2,495,000. So I'll start with that one. That one is four beds, four baths, a six-car garage, 4,040 square feet, a total of finished square feet of 5,343 the 4.4 acres, 5,343 square feet. All right. So big house. Up on Weatherhill. And also up on Weatherhill, I have a really fun, unique older house that the first one is new. It was built just 5 years ago, 2020. But I have one at 1409 Weatherhill Court that was built back in 1971. And it's a multi-level, I think it's four or five levels. It's very unique and really artsy and has views that are just amazing. It's just a really, really cool house. And that one's four beds, four baths, five car garage, and just under 5,000 square feet. That one is $1,004,000. So that's a $1,000,000 cheaper than the other one.
Okay.
Then I have one, another townhome out in Byron, 668 Shardlow Place Northeast. This one's $359,900, three beds, three baths, two car garage. And then over in Wabasha, we have a townhome, 1987, three bed, two bath, two car garage for $309,900. And then we've got 705 10th Street Southwest, 1946 built ranch style house, four beds, two baths, two car garage, and that's 2,300 square feet for $389,900 in a really sought after neighborhood. So those are the hot new listings.
You have a lot of inventory. My goodness. And those are just the last 2 weeks.
Yes. And a lot more coming. So I'm just going to tell you, it's business is booming. Don't listen to what anybody else wants to tell you about it. Okay. We are literally having our best year ever in 25 years. So we're selling houses like hotcakes. Buyers are out there. We're making deals happen, and we can absolutely do the same for anybody who's listening.
And the summer is flying by fast. And I know in the summer, usually August, you have a big picnic and party for everybody.
Yes, we're 5 weeks away from our big client appreciation party. So, yes, let's talk about that just a little bit each week. I know we're wrapping it up here today, but we're going to have it out at the same place we always do. Thank you. Out at the History Center. It's going to be on a Sunday afternoon because we find that there's no kids sports and all the things. So we get a much better turnout. We got lots of fun things planned for it. It just gets a little better every year. And this is either our fourth or fifth year. So we're pretty excited. And remind me each week to remind people. So our past men should have been receiving emails already about this.
All right, Robin. We've got to run, but what's the phone number if somebody wants to reach you to talk about buying or selling a home or learning about what they need to do to get ready?
Yes, or anything I can help you with, please do not hesitate to call me. That cell phone number is 507-259-4926.
All right, Robin, thanks again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right, Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE-MAX Results, News Talk 1340, KROC AM, and 96.